Amen. Thank you, Dave, musicians, choir. I think I speak for us all when I say that we needed to get together and sing today. We needed to get to sing about a different reality than the one we saw played out before our eyes. We needed to be able to sing about a different kind of kingdom. Beloved church, before we go any further in our worship this morning, there is something we need to watch together. Something we need to name up front, something we need to be clear about.
Okay.
You are resilient.
You're not alone.
You are carving the path for those who will come behind you.
We're allowed to be angry. We should be angry.
You have survived. You are still here. And I am glad that you are still here.
First off, I want to ask what it is that you need from me right now. If you want someone to be angry with you, I already am. If you want my prayers, they're yours. If you just want to sit in a room together asking God why this happened, knowing we're not going to get a full or satisfying answer to that question, let's ask anyway.
There is no feeling, there is no shame, there is no suffering that is too great where God will not be with you and walk with you and love you.
You need to be strong. You need to fight, and it will be a fight, but we women are made of strong stuff.
You're not crazy. What happened to you was real. And if the people in your life don't believe you, keep working until you find the people who do.
Find communities and spaces where you can heal and where your words will be healing.
It's okay to be angry, to connect with that, for it to be very visceral sometimes, that there's healing in that. And don't let anybody tell you that that's not something that you should be connecting with. You need it.
One of the most profound teachings, I believe, that Christianity offers is that in Christ we have someone who suffers with us and on our behalf, but does not justify the suffering that is inflicted at the hands of those who wish to do harm to us.
I believe you, and people will believe you.
I want you to know that you are beloved, that you will heal, that you will recover, and God is with you.
We don't just watch this video together. We speak these words to this beloved community as your pastors, and we speak them to one another. To all who have been victims of sexual violence, we believe you. What happened to you was real. You are allowed to be angry. You get to ask questions of God and neighbor about why this happened to you. And even if we can't get to a full and satisfying answer, we'll ask anyway. You are not alone. You are beloved. You get to tell us what you need right now. Today's scripture from the end of James exhorts us to pray again and again. And that seems like a good place for us to start as well. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we come before you this morning aware that we need you. We need to gather in your presence. We need to spread out our lives before you. We need to find shelter in you. We need to know that we are seen. We need to acknowledge that we are not God. We need to tell you of our pain. We need to lay our suffering before you. We need to confess our sin to one another. We pray that you would bind up our wounds. We pray that you would heal our broken hearts. We pray that you would liberate the oppressed. We pray that you would give us eyes to see this day, and that in seeing, we would be transformed. We pray that we would work alongside you to do these things as your co-laborers, your body here on this earth, your love in action. May the words of my mouth and the meditations in all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Chances are you've seen a portion, or way more than a portion, of the hearings that took place on Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. More than 20 million people watched on television, but that doesn't even come close to capturing how many more of us were listening to the radio, watching on our phones, or tuning in by way of our computers. That morning, we watched Dr. Christine Blasey Ford speak her truth clearly, directly, humanly, powerfully, humbly. We give thanks for her profound testimony and are utterly moved by the fullness of herself that she offered. As Parker Palmer reflected on her testimony this week, he wrote, "Her simple humanity contrasted so sharply with the posturings of people in power. She was a force to behold." And we know full well that Dr. Ford is not alone. We give thanks for many others who found their own ways to speak truth this week, be that in confidence to the sexual assault hotline, to trustworthy friends or family, or even publicly. And as we also remain absolutely mindful that there are many, many, many more who do not feel safe or supported or able to share about how they've been harmed by sexual violence for any reason. We only ask one thing of you. Don't blame yourself for what happened. Sexual violence is never, ever, ever, ever okay. You did nothing to deserve it. The afternoon was a stark contrast, a dark and depressing one, and one that we know all too well. Kathy Lansing told me I could just stand up here and scream today and that would be okay. I'll try and offer a few words, but know that if that's what you need, that's okay too. My most charitable and devastating read of what we beheld is this. Judge Kavanaugh sat before the Senate Judiciary Committee and declared, "I went after supremacy with all of my being, and I did it. I went to the best prep school, and I was valedictorian. I wasn't just a nerd either, I played sports. I got into Yale University and Yale Law School, which everyone knows is number one, Senator Hirono. I clerked for the Supreme Court. I worked for the president. I became a judge in the second highest court in this land, and now I've made it to the pinnacle of it all, a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. I have proven that I am the best. I deserve this. And I won't let some high school sexual assault I was too drunk to remember stand in my way." Supremacy, or as James calls it, selfish ambition, or more broadly, the wisdom of the world, is based on higher and lower, winners and losers, better than, smarter than, richer than, taller than, stronger than, more powerful than. Supremacy is in the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. It's in our institutions and our families. It's in our school systems and our legal systems and our churches, and it's in our hearts. And it is not the good news of the gospel. And we haven't even gotten to the part about how racism and sexism and classism ensure that the same groups remains dominant and that the oppressed never go free. James has many choice words for the wisdom of the world, for supremacy, for this view of the world, this way of life. I encourage you to read all 5 chapters of this short book in the New Testament and reflect on this week as you do. You see, James is quite concerned with how we live out our faith with actions and not just with words. Throughout the short book, James contrasts actions that are oriented towards supremacy or the wisdom of the world and solidarity, the wisdom for above. For many years, I read James as a list of do's and don'ts, a list of sin and right action, a list of right and wrong, but that was an overly simplistic theology that didn't get at the heart of what James was talking about. He wants us to get what it means to let the gospel imagination shape every fiber of our being and life together, to let it settle into our bones and our conversations, for our actions to be transformed by the good news of Jesus. And so, as we see in our scripture today, James concludes his book talking about what it means and looks like to live in solidarity and faithfulness to one another. He gives tangible actions for us to take to live out this gospel vision of solidarity and mutuality. He offers wisdom to the community for life together. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of church and have prayer over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Compañerismo is the Spanish word that gets at this imagination of solidarity. Its Latin roots literally mean with bread, con pan. When we share bread with our siblings, when we sit at the table with one another, when we bear witness to one another's sufferings, when we listen long enough to know where the pain resides, when we go to one another's bedsides, when we are sick, when we pray with one another, when we sing with one another, when we confess to one another, this is where the kingdom of God breaks in. This is where the good news of the gospel is made real right here and right now. This is where we offer our lives and service to a vision that is bigger than us, more beautiful than we could imagine, more life-changing than we thought we could bear, more intimate than our wildest dreams. We are up to something profoundly different than supremacy when we gather in this place. All summer long, we talked about the revolution of the intimate and how the Spirit intends to join us together and tear down any walls that separate us and keep us apart. And we will continue to walk towards this love in action in the days ahead. Beloved ones, may we have ears to hear truth spoken in our midst. May we have eyes to see how the Spirit seeks to join us together in solidarity and mutuality. And may we have the courage to put our love into action. Amen.